All right, so we're diving into blow molding today.
Uh-huh.
You want to know how those like plastic bottles and containers we see everywhere, how do they get made? You've come to the right place. We've got a really cool mix of stuff you sent over, technical papers, industry reports, even some personal stories. That's fantastic. So today we're going to break it all down, not just what blow molding is,
Right,
but like why it matters and
yeah.
how it's used in so many industries. Get ready for some surprises. You might think you know plastic bottles, but there's a lot more to it than meets the eye.
It's true. What's really interesting to me about this is like it's everywhere in modern life. You know,
Totally.
we use these blow molded things all the time, but never really think about how they're made. It seems so simple, but it's actually super versatile.
Exactly. It's easy to just like take those plastic containers for granted, but could you imagine life without them?
No way.
From like food packaging to car parts, the impact of blow molding is massive. So, okay, back to basics. How does it actually work?
So at its core, blow molding is all about taking this heated tube of plastic and turning it into something hollow.
Okay.
They call that tube a Parisson, by the way.
Parisson, got it.
One of the things you sent actually described it as like watching a sculptor at work,
Interesting.
which I think is a really good way to picture it. Like imagine someone shaping clay, but with hot plastic instead, being carefully blown up inside a mold.
Oh, that makes sense. That careful shaping thing, I hadn't thought of it like that. It's not just about getting the shape right, it's got to be strong too, right? Especially for stuff like bottles that hold fizzy drinks under pressure.
Exactly. And that's where all the different types of blow molding come in.
Right.
Each method has its own quirks, so manufacturers can fine-tune the process for different products and needs. You send over stuff about three main types: extrusion, injection, and injection stretch blow molding.
Okay, let's break those down. Extrusion blow molding sounds pretty simple, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like squeezing toothpaste out of a tube,
Okay.
but swap the toothpaste for, molten plastic
Aha.
and the toothbrush for a mold.
Gotcha.
This constant squeezing out of the Parisson makes it really efficient for making tons of stuff,
Right.
like bottles, big drums, even huge tanks.
So high volume, lower cost. That makes sense. What about injection blow molding? Is that where it gets a bit fancier?
Yeah, you could say that. So instead of that continuous Parisson with injection blow molding, you start with what's called a preform. It's basically like a mini version of the final thing made with injection molding.
Okay.
Then that preform gets heated up and blown up inside the blow mold, which gives you more intricate designs and really precise wall thicknesses.
I see.
So think about things like bottles with handles, or those threaded necks for caps, or containers with, crazy
So
shapes.
it's like having more control over how the final product turns out,
But
but it
exactly.
probably costs a bit more,
You
right?
got it. And then there's injection stretch blow molding, which is like the rock star behind those crystal clear PET water bottles. It takes the precision of injection blow molding and adds in a stretching step.
Oh.
That aligns the molecules in the plastic, which makes it crazy strong and super transparent.
So that's why those bottles can take so much pressure. Makes sense. There was this designer named Jackie mentioned in what you sent over, and they used this knowledge to pick the right blow molding method for a new bottle they were working on.
Oh, cool.
It's a good reminder that this isn't just theoretical stuff, it has like real world applications.
For sure. So with Jackie, they were designing this bottle for a sports drink, and they had all these requirements, right? It
Yeah.
had to be light but strong, have a comfy grip, and hold up to the pressure of, a carbonated drink.
Makes sense.
Knowing the ins and outs of each type of blow molding helped them make the best choice, which ended up being injection stretch blow molding.
Wow, cool. Just like we might need to do someday, right?
I don't know.
Exactly. It's like this isn't just a textbook, it's a toolkit. But how does blow molding stack up against other ways of making plastic stuff, like injection molding?
Good question.
I'm thinking like a plastic forming face-off.
Haha, I like that. It's not really a battle. It's more about picking the right tool for the job. Blow molding's the way to go when you need hollow stuff,
Okay.
while injection molding's better for solid parts.
Got it. So each one's got its strengths. But let's move on to what I find super interesting, materials.
Okay.
You might think plastic is plastic,
Right.
but the stuff you sent over really highlighted how the material you choose impacts pretty much everything about the final product, from how much it costs to how well it works.
Absolutely. It's not just about what it looks like, it's about how it actually functions in the real world.
Exactly. So let's talk about polyethylene or PE. It's everywhere, from flimsy grocery bags to those tough milk jugs. Why is it so popular?
Well, PE is incredibly versatile. It's flexible, strong, and pretty cheap. Perfect for making a lot of everyday containers.
Makes sense.
But keep in mind, there's a whole family of PE materials, each with their own quirks, like high-density polyethylene or HDPE is way more rigid. So you see that in things like detergent bottles or pipes.
So it's not just PE, it's a whole spectrum within that like category of materials. What about polypropylene? It sounds like a real workhorse.
It is. Polypropylene, or PP, is known for being super tough and resisting heat and chemicals.
Oh, wow.
So things like microwavable containers or even car parts.
Makes sense.
And just like with PE, you've got different grades of PP that range in how flexible and strong they are.
Okay, so picking the right type of PP is key for specific uses. It's all about understanding the nuances. What about PVC? That one always seems to get people talking.
Right, so polyvinyl chloride, or PVC, is long-lasting, stands up to weather, and it's transparent. It's great for stuff like pipes, window frames, and certain types of packaging.
Cut.
But there are concerns about, you know, its impact on the environment and potential health risks during production and disposal.
Yeah.
It's a complicated issue with valid points on both sides.
Right. And it's important for us to just lay out the information and let people come to their own conclusions.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not forget about, like, the king of drink bottles, PET.
Right.
It seems like every drink bottle is PET these days.
Polyethylene terephthalate, or PE, has changed the game for the drink industry. Strong, lightweight, recyclable, and keeps drinks fresh. What more could you ask for?
Right. And what about ABS? It always sounds like the tough guy in the plastic world.
Uh-huh. Yeah, acrylonitrile, butyllene, styrene, or ABS, is known for how well it takes a hit and its rigidity. Like protective cases, helmets, or those heavy-duty toolboxes.
Mm.
Not really used for bottles, but super important in a ton of other stuff.
So we've got this huge range of materials, each with its own pros and cons. It seems like knowing those material properties is crucial for making good design choices.
It is. The material you pick affects everything from how tough the product is and how it works to its cost and environmental impact.
Totally. But let's zoom out for a second. Blow molding isn't just about bottles, right? It's used in a surprisingly wide range of industries.
It's true. Think about the fuel tank in your car, the bumper on your truck, or even like the container for your laundry detergent. They're all blow molded products.
Wow, it really is everywhere. So how do manufacturers decide on the right type of blow molding and the right material for a specific product? It seems like there's a lot to consider.
It is. It's a balancing act between what the design needs, the material's properties, how much it costs, and even its impact on the environment. And in our next segment, we're going to dive deeper into all that, exploring how blow molding is used across different industries and the challenges they face in making these everyday products.
Back again for more blow molding fun.
Uh-huh, that's right.
We've covered the basics, the different types, all those crazy materials. But now let's get like a little more technical, shall we?
Okay.
I'm super curious about how they make those intricate designs and get the wall thicknesses just right. It seems like a real blend of art and science.
It really is. One of the things you sent in mentioned how important it is to have the material evenly spread out. And that doesn't just happen on its own.
Right.
It takes like careful control over each step, starting with the paraffin, that tube of heated plastic we talked about.
Yeah, the paraffin. It's like the foundation of the whole process.
Right.
So how do they make sure the plastic is spread evenly in the mold?
Well, in extrusion blow molding, remember, that's where the paraffin is constantly being squeezed out.
Yeah.
It's all about precisely controlling how thick and wide it is.
Okay.
Like, you know those old-fashioned pasta makers squeezing out perfectly even strands of spaghetti?
Ah, yeah.
Kind of like that, but with molten plastic and way more precision.
Got it. So the paraffin is like the raw material, and the mold shapes it into the final product. But what about those intricate designs we see in some stuff?
Right.
How do they get those details so sharp and perfect?
That's where the mold design comes in. Remember we compared blow molding to injection molding. One advantage of blow molding is that the molds are usually simpler and cheaper to make.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean they can't be complex. It all depends on the skill of the mold maker and how well they understand the material.
So it's not just carving out the shape. You got to know how the plastic will flow and stretch when it's being blown up.
Exactly. The mold designer has to think about stuff like how thick the walls are in different spots, how fast it cools, even how much the material shrinks as it cools down.
Right.
Like, sharp corners can be tricky because the air pressure tends to push the plastic toward the smoother, rounder parts of the mold.
I see.
That can make the corners thin and weak, and that's where you get defects.
Makes sense. It's like a puzzle figuring out how to make a complex design while working within the limits of the material and the process.
It is. It's teamwork between the designers, engineers, and the mold makers. They use fancy software and simulations to get the mold just right and make sure the final product meets all the requirements.
Wow, that's cool. Speaking of efficiency, blow molding is known for being really fast. How do they make so many things so quickly?
Well, a couple of things. First, the cycle time is super short. Once the paraffin's in place, or the preform, if that's what's being used, the blowing happens really fast, often just a few seconds.
So it's like this perfectly timed dance, each step flowing smoothly and quickly into the next.
That's a great way to put it. The other thing is automation. A lot of blow molding operations are highly automated, so you've got robots doing stuff like loading and unloading parts, trimming off extra material, even checking the finished products.
Makes sense.
That means you need fewer people, less downtime, and the quality stays consistent.
It's not just speed, it's precision and consistency too. But let's switch gears for a bit and talk about something that's really important these days, sustainability. How is the blow molding industry dealing with all the worries about plastic waste and its impact on the environment?
That's a huge question, and everyone in the industry is thinking about it.
One
way is to use more sustainable materials, like we talked about PT earlier, which is great for recycling, especially for drinks.
Right.
But there are new materials popping up too, like those plant-based polymers we mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
They're a more eco-friendly alternative to those traditional oil-based plastics.
So it's about finding materials that work well but have less of an impact on the planet. What about what happens to all those bottles and containers once we're done with them?
That's where designing for recyclability is key.
Okay.
If you make products that are easy to take apart and recycle, manufacturers can help close the loop and reduce how much plastic ends up in landfills.
Right.
This means choosing materials that work with existing recycling systems, using fewer parts, and avoiding adhesives that mess up the recycling process.
So it's about planning ahead, designing products with their whole life cycle in mind, not just how they're used initially. But even with the best intentions, things don't always work out perfectly. What are some of the challenges and limitations of blow molding? I mean, every manufacturing process has its quirks, right?
Yeah.
What are some things to watch out for?
You're right. There are always challenges. One common one is keeping the wall thickness consistent, especially in those complex shapes.
Yeah.
The air pressure during blowing can make it vary, and that affects the strength and how long the product lasts.
Right.
Good mold designers use simulations and careful control to minimize those variations.
So it's like walking a tightrope, pushing the limits of design while making sure the final product is still strong.
Exactly. Another challenge is dealing with flash. That's the extra material that can squeeze out where the mold comes together.
Okay.
It needs to be trimmed off, which adds an extra step.
Yeah.
Careful mold design and process control are super important for minimizing that. Then there's the issue of wasted material during production.
Yeah.
Especially in extrusion blow molding.
Right.
But a lot of manufacturers are using closed loop systems now to capture and reuse that extra material.
It's great that they're finding ways to reduce waste and be more efficient. It's clear that blow molding, even though it's been around a while, is still evolving.
For sure. That evolution is driven by a bunch of things, like new materials, automation, and that focus on sustainability we talked about. In our next segment, we'll explore some of the cool innovations shaping the future of blow molding and how it's adapting to the changing world.
Wow, we've really journeyed deep into blow molding.
We have.
Uncovering all the secrets of those plastic products we use all the time. But as we wrap up our deep dive, I'm actually kind of excited thinking about what's next.
Yeah.
Like, we've explored what is, and now we're looking ahead at what could be.
I know, right? What's really cool is that the future of blow molding isn't just about small improvements here and there. It's about like big changes in materials, how things are made, even how we think about plastics as a society.
You've got me hooked. Let's talk about materials. Those plant-based polymers we touched on earlier, are those going to be like the next big thing? Are we going to have plastic bottles as eco-friendly as like a leaf on the ground?
That's definitely the goal. These bio-based polymers are renewable and often they can biodegrade too.
Wow.
Imagine using a plastic bottle and then it just breaks down naturally back into the earth.
That's amazing. It's like flipping the whole take, make, dispose thing on its head. But what about all the plastic we've already made? Is there hope for all that?
There is. People are getting really excited about chemical recycling.
Okay.
It's a way to break plastic waste down to its basic building blocks.
Interesting.
And then you can use those to make brand new plastics. It's like giving plastic a second life.
It's like hitting the reset button on plastic waste. Instead of a problem, it becomes a resource. What about 3D printing? Is that living up to all the hype?
3D printing is totally changing how we design and make molds.
Yeah.
Now you can create super complex molds that would have been impossible or crazy expensive before.
Right.
That opens up tons of possibilities for, like, custom-made and really specific blow-molded products.
I can see it now. Personalized bottles with unique shapes, special edition packaging that's like a collector's item. The possibilities are endless. But besides all the cool stuff, how is 3D printing changing the more practical side of blow-molding?
Well, with 3D printing, companies can make prototypes super fast and test out different designs without spending tons of time and money on traditional mold making.
Right.
This makes product development way faster and encourages more innovation.
It's like having a tiny factory right there in your office.
Mm. With all this tech stuff, though, let's not forget about us, the people using these products.
Yeah.
How important is it for consumers to be aware and make responsible choices?
It's super important. Technology can't solve everything.
Right.
We need to change how we think about things.
Right.
We need to change how we think about things. We need to realize that the choices we make as consumers directly affect the environment and industries like blow molding.
So it's not just about buying recycled stuff. It's about cutting down on how much we use overall, choosing reusable options whenever we can, and getting rid of plastic properly. It's about making smart decisions for a more sustainable future.
Exactly. It's on all of us. Manufacturers need to create sustainable materials and processes, and consumers need to make good choices about what they buy and how they get rid of it.
We've come a long way, haven't we? From the early days of blow molding to all this talk about a greener future, what's the one big thing you want our listeners to take away from all this?
That blow molding, even though it's an old technology, is still changing and adapting to the challenges and opportunities of today. There's so much potential, from new materials and cool manufacturing techniques to this focus on sustainability.
So true. So next time you pick up a seemingly simple plastic bottle or container, take a second to think about how it's made and what it could mean for the future. And remember, we all have a part to play in making that future a reality through the choices we make. Keep those curious minds working, and we'll see you on our next deep dive.